We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The Herman community banding together to honor the life of Sergeant Mason Griffith.
We're creating a model for really, I think, what a free society should be. Yes.
Not recognized internationally by us either, but I think it makes a very strong point.
The radical left Democrats are using their prosecutors to try and steal another election.
Historians would look back and say that is the act that reelected Donald Trump president.
It could happen, you know. We'll find out tomorrow if President Trump is right about that. Will the prosecutor up in New York do something that crazy? Boy, just never. There's never a dull moment these days. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Monday morning, the 20th day of the month. We're happy that you're here with us. You know, if it's the 20th, that lets you know we're only 8 days out now from our Save Our Schools rally that's going to be taking place down at Wendy's in the Chesterfield Valley. If you've never been down there, they've got this great tent, tented area heated out behind it, and that's where we're going to hold the rally. It's open to the public from 5 to 8 on the 28th, and I hope you can come down. Now, what are you going to see there? Well, as you know, I put out a list of a school board voter guide for the April 4th election. If you go down that list, you're going to see a list of names of people that I'm recommending in a variety of different school districts. What you will not see on that list is anybody that's been endorsed by the Missouri NEA or the MSTA. And these are the folks who stand up for parents and who believe that parents and taxpayers are the primary stakeholders in their children's education, and it's going to be important. I hope we get a great turnout down there. We got a lot of different cities that have school board elections coming up, and I hope that you're going to get out and encourage you, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives to vote. That's the key. That's the point of all of this, is turning out the vote, because that can be an issue in these April elections, is getting people out the door and to the polls. So this morning we have in studio with us three candidates who are running in the Francis Howell School District. Jane Puskar is in studio with us, Mark Ponder, and Ron Harmon. And welcome to all of you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Absolutely. Are we excited? You guys
are
doing.
We are more than excited.
You're doing great work out there in Francis Howell.
We're going to win this thing.
It's good. That's good. I mean, honestly, I watch this in some districts and I kind of scratch my head and I'm thinking, why don't they do it the way they do it in Francis Howell? You guys, thanks to Ken over there, have really turned this into a system.
Absolutely.
We're engaged out there.
Right.
Parents are engaged. The community is vastly interested in what we're trying to do. So, I mean, it impacts everybody.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
Includes a lot of door knocking, too. Mark Ponder, you and Jane and Ron have all been out hitting doors and really getting community buy-in on what needs to happen.
For sure. They, as we're out walking the streets of Francis Howell, it's just yesterday, I went to a house. They asked me if they could have more push cards to push out.
Good.
And you don't often hear that. You expect to just have a brief conversation and say, here, you know, vote for me, here's what I think about, you know, about the community, and next thing you know, they're asking to volunteer for you. And that's really the state of the district right now. People have seen and have heard exactly what has happened in the past and where this district is going, and they want to change. They want to go our way.
I think people need to buy into that. They need to understand what motivated each of you to run. So, Jane, let me start with you. What caused you to put your name on the ballot this year?
Well, fortunately, I'm at a time in my life where I can do things that I want to do and not things that I have to do, which means I'm retired. But the other reason, I got involved with some political action groups. You know, I was bumping along, keeping myself busy with the Association of Stroke Coordinators, which is a group I founded 11 years ago. And I got involved with some political action committees. And what I found was appalling. The questions that I asked led me to understand what was actually going on in the schools, which was not ever, you know, I had no idea that there was CRT, DEI, social emotional learning, all things that are not what I believe our children should be taught. And so I started looking into it, got involved with some people, and that's when I decided to run. I could not just sit by and not protect our precious children.
Ron, your thoughts? What caused you to run?
Initially, my interest was probably a few years ago when an email came out and said that they were going to do away with AP programs. That got me interested. And then the final straw was the whole fiasco with the Prop S funding and the management of the funds. I figured, all right, I've never done anything political in my life, but it's time for me to get off the couch and I'll get involved.
Yeah. And the funding issue I want to talk about in a minute, it's kind of been an ongoing issue out there for the past couple of years. Mark Ponder, how about you?
Along the same lines of these folks, I saw, like Ron, I've got two little ones coming up in the district, and I've always been a baseball player, so I always understood that you don't get better by playing teams that are not as good as you. You get better by playing teams that are better than you. And when they decided to, you know, think about taking away the AP courses, that blew my mind. It just didn't make any sense to me. And then you couple that with the Prop S issues that we've had, and we found out a lot more on Thursday at the board meeting. That was it for me. And then, you know, other things like the DEI and CRT and things like that. It just doesn't make sense.
What was the argument? Maybe somebody could remind me about taking away advanced placement courses. Is it the everybody gets a trophy argument? Why would you not allow the cream to rise to the top? Because that's what happens, right?
That, in a sense, was what it was you didn't want others that didn't so-called qualify for AP to not feel bad.
Oh.
So that's, in my mind, what I was hearing and what it amounted to. And so, I mean, it's not everybody is blessed with the same talent. Somebody has an aptitude for math. Some people don't. Somebody might have more of an aptitude for art. But it doesn't mean you take away somebody's aptitude to proceed and do as good as they can, be the best they can at whatever they're talented at. You don't punish them because somebody isn't as good as you at something. That seemed the direction it was going.
It's a competition issue, right? For the same reasons I've read for some school districts have done away with class rank because they don't want somebody to feel that they weren't as good as someone else. Jane, thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's not all that they took away. I know at graduation, the valedictorian of the class does not get any time or any recognition, and I intend to change that. That's just a demotivator for those kids that are academically inclined and that work very hard for their grades.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Jane Puskar, my guest, Mark Ponder, Ron Harmon, they're running for school board out in the Francis Howell district. Let's get back to this funding issue. Social issues have taken the spotlight the last couple of years. Let's face it, people have been focused on books that they've been shocked to find in their school library and curriculum and people being hired from the University of Missouri to come in and teach, you know, diversity, equity, and equality. But ultimately, taxpayers fund what's going on in their local districts. And when you see just ridiculous amounts of waste, it makes you scratch your head and wonder, how did this happen for so long, and who was asleep at the wheel when this happened? So, Mark, let me start with you on the school building issue. Did it start with Prop S? Is that where the money came from?
The Prop S was a bond issue.
To build
a new high school, security vestibules, things like that within the district. And basically, what happened was the current board was kind of asleep at the wheel, and they weren't asking questions. They weren't digging in. They weren't saying, you know, hey, let's go over to the site and see if there are anything, if there's anything that may pop out at me. Nothing like that. And then when you combine that with the fact that you had a previous superintendent and administration that was, let's say, not doing things above board, that's a recipe for disaster. And people like us, when we noticed it, we thought, I'm getting off my couch. I can't let this happen. I've got two little girls that are going to come up in this district. This is not going to happen on my watch.
Plus, it's the taxpayers' money. I mean, it's your money, right? That's just why you're running for school board. And you mentioned this, what happened at the school board meeting the other night. Can you give me some insight on that?
Well, basically, they tried to lay it out like that the school board didn't know anything, so no fault here, no blame here. And we don't need to have an audit. You can have an audit if you want, but hey, we figured out what our mistakes were, so we're just going to move ahead. And I think the people in the community have a challenge with that. The challenge is that's the school board's responsibility. You can't plead ignorance of a speed limit. If I get pulled over by an officer and say, I didn't know this, it was 55 miles an hour here, I was going 80. So no, you can't plead ignorance. No, that's your responsibility as being on the school board, is to be engaged and know what's going on. There are POs being issued for construction to start. Well, I don't know what the guaranteed maximum price is. Why are you starting construction? No, let's stop, let's slow down and see what the cost is before we proceed down this road.
Yeah, lots of overruns. Jane, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have some thoughts, real thoughts. They put up a recipe for disaster, kind of a timeline of how things went wrong. And at the end of each one of them, it said the board was not given this information, as Mark and Ron alluded to. I'd like to change that to the board didn't show leadership to ask for that information, because that's our information, but we didn't get any of it.
Yeah. Which, as we look back, and I brought this up with my other guests in the studio, most people don't even know who's on the school board. You know, I think until maybe this COVID issue happened, it opened a lot of eyes. People didn't even know what day of the week or what day of the month their board met, who was on there, who was making these decisions. And I think that allowed the unions to exert their influence in a lot of ways into a lot of our districts, where they would run a slate of candidates. Nobody really, there was no organized opposition against that. And then you've got the fox in the hen house at that point, right? Because those candidates are turning around and determining contract issues. That's a conflict.
It's a definite conflict. The other thing is that an April election typically does not get a whole lot of recognition or support, and that makes it even worse. We have to ask everybody to get out and vote. I mean, it's very important. Your vote counts. People now think, oh, my vote doesn't count. But yes, it definitely does.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, Mark, your thoughts on Trent. Let's transition to transparency. I look at what's gone on in my district out there in Rockwood, and it was, again, remote learning that allowed a lot of parents to get their first glimpse of what was going on. What was your experience with your girls?
Well, my girls are younger, so we didn't have that. My oldest is in first grade, and my youngest is coming up. So we didn't really experience that. But to your point, what I really think happened is COVID allowed for us to see inside the classroom and really get a good example and good idea of exactly what was happening. And when you know exactly what's happening versus just seeing it on paper when the kids get home, it opens up a lot of eyes. And I think that's what happened. Parents started to really see that these things were being talked about in schools, the sexualization of the kids and the books that they were being read out in class and things like that. And that threw up red alerts all over the place.
Yeah, it's enough to make anybody blush when they read some of those books out loud. And any thoughts on that?
From my end, from the transparency issue is huge, which goes back to a mentality of, hey, there's nothing to see here with the Prop S funding issue. I mean, that's a mentality. If you're going to be transparent, you have to be transparent across the board. That information has to be shared with parents. And then on the other end of it, the parents have to get engaged. Now, we'll say this. I've had three children that have graduated through the Francis Howell District. And by and large, the teachers are awesome. We've had really good experience with most of the teachers. But the transparency is, as far as getting involved in the curriculum and what you're finding out, is what goes along with the curriculum is includes little handouts and discussions in the classroom.
Yeah, and things that, I don't know, the average parent may not think about is the influence that's being exerted on those teachers. I'm with you. I know a lot of really great people who are teachers, and their heart's in the right place, and bless them because they do a job that I don't think I'd have the patience to do. I really don't. But we increasingly have developed a system where there's no discipline. The kids don't get any discipline at home. They're certainly not allowed to get any discipline in the classroom. And then you end up with all sorts of problems on top of that, with the teachers being taught to just, I'm going to throw this out as a generalization, to look out into the classroom on the first day and judge the kids in their classroom by the color of their skin. We know that kind of training is taking place. It flies in the face of everything we as a society have tried to accomplish the last 50 or 60 years. Jane, you brought up the DEI and some of that issue a few minutes ago. When did that first come to your attention, and where does it come from?
It was brought to my attention about a year and a half ago. And I must say, Mark, I agree with you. The vast majority of the teachers in the Francis Howell School District are very dedicated and very competent at what they're doing. But yeah, absolutely. About a year and a half ago, it was just appalling. We actually paid Dr. LeGarrette King $15,000 to develop the curricula for CRT. But then they say that it's not being used. So, but like I said, there's a lot of times when teachers kind of go off script, and that is not in any way the vast majority, but a few that are a little bit of an activist type of teacher and want to teach kids their own way. I just do not, I agree with you. We've come a long way from looking at each other through the lens of color, and that, in my estimation, really needs to stop. It's socialist agenda, and it's just not good for the kids.
No, I would agree. And for people that don't, I think maybe people that don't remember that, my question to the board out there would be, the administration, why did you pay for it if you weren't going to use it?
Precisely.
Am I right now? So I'll play people just a clip if they don't remember what happened with this professor they brought in and paid, what, $15,000 to from the University of Missouri? Let me play the bite real quick. This is the kind of stuff that you're hearing out there.
You have to not utilize verbiage of white privilege, or, you know, whatever the case may be, that don't use the verbiage. But the point is the same. So if it's possible to write the curriculum and the standards in a way that says, this is our curriculum, and all we're doing is going back to the curriculum. You know, if you got to throw out the words, right? You know, because somebody wanted to do that at the University of Missouri and rename our undergrad program or something like that. It was something, you know, teaching social justice or something like that. I'm like, do we really have to call it teaching social justice? Because all we're doing is bringing attention to ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, he admitted we don't want to do this in a way that would bring attention to it. Fortunately, we brought attention to it. And hopefully that, I don't know which of you three would agree with me, or maybe all of you would. I think that's motivated a lot of change. It's made parents wake up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It has woken up some people. And the issue out there is the kids don't care. It's the politicians that make a big deal out of this stuff. The parents just want the kids to know how to think. They don't want somebody coming into the classroom telling kids what to think. Our families will take care of the what to thinks. We just want our schools to teach our kids how to think.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's Ron Harmon. We got Mark Ponder and Jane Puskar in here, candidates for the Francis Howell School District. Let's talk quickly then about curriculum in the time we got left here. We know that you have the ability to influence that somewhat as a board member. Obviously, most of that's coming from the superintendent. Ultimately, the superintendent works for the board. So, Mark, what would you hope to accomplish in terms of addressing curriculum issues?
Well, first we need to let the teachers teach the actual curriculum. And in my personal life, in my professional life, what I've learned is to kind of really find my own way. I do it differently than my other coworkers, and I'm sure teachers do it differently than the others. But the curriculum is the curriculum. And when we actually have a setup of X for this grade and X for that grade, it needs to be abided by until such time as the administration and the board can get together and make changes. And at any given time, there needs to be proper communication between the teachers, the administration, and the board, as well as including the parents in on this. I think that, you know, implementing and making sure that the values of the parents are actually in there is imperative too.
Yeah, well, hopefully people are paying attention. Again, the Francis House School Board election coming up April 4th, like all of our local school board elections. Jane Puskar, Mark Ponder, Ron Harmon are running out in the for the Francis House. Families are supporting this slate of candidates. They're on my voter guide. I would encourage you to go to 971talk.com. It's the first thing you'll see. You can download it and you can look at the candidates that are running in your district. You can also find out if you go to 971talk.com/events, the Save Our Schools rally, March 28th. All of these candidates on my list are going to be there. You'll have a chance to come and talk to them, and we'll get people motivated to turn out to vote. Thank you all for being here this morning.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you in here. Thanks for putting your body on the line here for your school district. We appreciate it. A quick break here. We're going to get to Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman when we come back. Stay tuned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nice. Just a quick reminder there. You heard our school board candidates from Francis Howe. Everybody on my list is going to be at the Save Our Schools rally coming up on the 28th in the Chesterfield Valley. All of the details are up there at 971talk.com/events. You can find out everything you need to know about that. So I hope people will get on there and come out and party with us, right? And just have a great time. We're just going to mingle and meet the candidates, and it's going to be fantastic. Good reminder to get out there and vote and vote. And you know who's big on education issues? Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, and great to have her on the phone with us this morning. Senator, how are you?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Now all we need to do, we need to regain control of our local school boards, and then we need to give parents a choice so they can move their children if their school district is underperforming.
Well, and I don't want to wait until we get back our school boards. It seems like what happens is we get work really hard, we get a great, strong conservative elected to the school board, and then often or not, they're the only one there, and then they send them off to indoctrination camp, right? The NEA or MSTA or one of these other organizations, and they come back saying, oh, we need more money, and, you know, we're not blah, 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 you can't have choice. And it's like, wait, this isn't the same person that you were 60 days ago. What happened? So, yeah, we've got to fix it at the state level, and we've got to get good people elected, and we got to get more than just one on each school board because they need backup votes. We need to work on getting them a majority.
Oh, I know. So where does that legislation stand, to your knowledge, in terms of the school choice? I know there are several different versions of it, right?
Yeah, there's several provisions that have been moving around. There's a pretty modest school choice bill that's come out of the House before spring break. My guess is Andrew Koenig, who should be called the negotiator of the Senate. The man is absolutely the best negotiator in the chamber. He's going to be the one who's going to work on negotiating that. My guess is it comes out of the state Senate stronger than what the House sent over for us. And then, you know, the House will do what the Senate makes them do because we have the ability to shut everything down for a priority of ours, even if they hem and haw about it. So I think we're going to get a stronger education reform bill out of the Senate than the House sent us. And then the House is ultimately going to take up and pass what we send back to them.
So a little bit of grief given to you guys for leaving a couple days before spring break actually started. But you're back in session today. I know you didn't vote for that, but you're back.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I voted to stay and keep working, and I was in Jeff City at my desk Thursday before the scheduled recess. But we're back today, and we're back with a vengeance. So I'm ready to see us pass some good conservative stuff this week.
Yeah, I hope. What are your hopes for that? Prognosticate for me a little bit. What are you hoping gets done? And how quickly, Mary Elizabeth, I think is the question, because now after spring break, we have, what, a month and a half left?
That's
a little
right.
Over?
About 7 weeks left, yeah. Not that I'm counting. And listen, nothing happens quickly in the Senate. I think if you're looking for something to be done quickly, then you're looking to the wrong body.
Okay.
It's a deliberative body. We work slowly. Missouri has one of the strongest Senates in the country, meaning any senator can stop anything. And so, you know, Mike Moon has the votes from the Republicans to be able to protect kids from some of these horrific abuses. We've got kids who are really suffering. They have some sort of disconnect between the way that they are made and the way that they feel, and that's a tragic situation. And we've got people who have, frankly, really hurt them further by allowing them to take steps that are irrevocable. And so Mike Moon, Senator Moon, has got a great bill called SAFE. I'm forgetting now what the acronym is for, but it's basically protecting our kids from harmful medical procedures if they're dealing with some gender dysphoria. It's pretty common sense. Kids can't consent to getting a tan in the state of Missouri. They shouldn't be able to consent to these life-changing hormones or surgeries or off-brand pharmaceutical uses. But the problem is just having the support of the supermajority, 24 Republicans, isn't enough to get it done. We've got 10 Democrats in the chamber, 9 right now, because Senator Roberts is he's in the military and he's deployed right now, doing some kind of a training. He'll be back before the end of session, but he isn't there today. And so you've got to find a path for the Democrats to sit down, or you have to use a procedural motion called moving the previous question. I don't think using a moving the previous question on Senator Moon's bill, a Senate bill in March, makes much sense. If we're committed to doing this, it's going to happen. But I don't think we should do the PQ in March. I just think it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense on a Senate bill. If we decide that's what we're going to do, I care too much about this issue to limit us to which bill. I think each bill is kind of like a vehicle, right? So it's right. Like, what way can we get the language to the governor's desk? And I think, you know, we have to look at other bills to do that, probably ones that have come over from the House. Put the language on a House bill, send it back over, and let's get it signed by the governor. Yeah. So it's going to take a while. It's going to take some work. The supermajority is committed to protecting kids. We've shown that over and over again. And there's a rally at the Capitol at 2 o'clock. If your listeners have time and want to drive to Jeff City, get on the road by noon. It takes about 2 hours to get there. It should be a great rally. But listen, I think we're going to get this done this year. How we get it done, I don't know, but we're going to get it done.
Yeah, well, states all around us are doing it who don't have as strong a majorities as we do. There's just no reason that we shouldn't get it accomplished. I'm with you now. I know the PQ has been used before. It somebody described it once as the nuclear option. If you do it early, does it risk the possibility of the minority, in this particular case, the Democrats, clogging up the system for the rest of the session?
No, it doesn't risk that. It guarantees it.
It guarantees
it,
yeah.
So what will happen, yeah. So if we make a motion to move the previous question at this point, we will have a hard time meeting our constitutional obligation to pass the budget. Every year, there are things in the budget that conservatives like me can't vote for. And so the appropriations chair looks to Democrats to pick up votes to be able to get things done. That won't happen. And even then, they're not going to move quickly. They're going to filibuster the journal. They're going to filibuster everything. So I think sometimes people get caught up in the weeds a little bit about why isn't this happening quickly. Well, we don't really want the government to be able to write laws quickly, first of all, right? Like, let's just all agree to that. We want really a slow process. We want to make sure we're really going to have it happen. And I don't think we want to weaken the Senate by in some of the procedural ways that neighboring states have done. We want strong senators, because it's not that long ago that conservatives were in the super minority, and we had to stop a lot of really bad stuff. Well, heck, we still have to work on stopping a lot of really bad stuff, even in the super majority. So, I think we're going to see that done. I think you're going to see a filibuster today. We'll go back to the bill. The Democrats are going to filibuster it, and we're going to see how long their lugs and legs can last. But the problem is they have 9 senators. You have to have 18 people to continue to vote yes that you want to have keep going. And so that means it takes the commitment of the entire supermajority to stay and break their filibuster. Well, all but 2 of them get to go home and sleep. You know, they get to have shifts. So it's not going to happen quickly. It's going to take a while. And I think we probably will find something passed on Wednesday or Thursday, but we're not going to pass something that's not strong enough to actually protect kids, and they're not going to sit down. So we're just going to have to grind it out, and it's going to take a while.
Glad to hear it. Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, appreciate your time, District 22, and we will check in again with you in about a week and see where things are going.
Okay, sounds good. Have a great week, everybody.
You bet.
Say a little prayer for me at like 2 a.m. because I'm a freshman, so my shift is going to be late into the night.
Well, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll see you later. We appreciate that. Good to get her on here. Good to get an update. I'm glad to hear it. Again, that rally is coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon in the Capitol Rotunda. You still got plenty of time to get down there if you're off today. And they're going to rally for the kids to try to get a law in place where you can't make decisions at age 13 that are going to affect you for the rest of your life if you change your mind. You can't change your mind after that. You can't go backwards. So we're going to talk about that and more. Next hour, Jesse Jane Duff on the story that Donald Trump might get indicted tomorrow. We'll talk to her about that about 8:08. Stay tuned.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Who knew that intro was so long, Carl? Excuse me for the very wide smile on my face right now, but I just found out I'm having a granddaughter.
Congratulations! Yay.
Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you so much. We've already got the grandson, and my daughter Gretchen just texted me a few minutes ago and said, call me when you have a minute. So, of course, I called her only to find out, how would you like to have a granddaughter? She just found out the gender, didn't have to consult with a biologist or anything. It's going to be a girl. So awesome. Isn't that great?
Yes, congratulations. That's wonderful.
The million-dollar family. They got a little boy. He's 21 months old, roughly, Ashton. And now we're going to have a little granddaughter. It's
gonna have
beautiful.
A sister. Terrific.
I know. I'm very excited. Smiling ear to ear. So congratulations to Gretchen and Xander and Ashton, although he doesn't realize it yet. All he knows is there's a baby coming. And when you ask him who's the baby, he says Ashton. So he thinks he's the baby, but he knows that there's a baby coming. So
he's a couple of months from now. Oh, he'll know.
He'll know in September. Let's put it that way. Yeah. So anyway, congratulations to me and to my daughter and to his Gigi and all that stuff.
Congratulations,
and his aunts and uncles,
to the proud parents.
Correct.
Yes, you're going to have fun.
Mostly them.
Mostly them.
Well, you'll be taking care of your grandson a lot more.
This is my wife's comment to me. This is going to be expensive.
Oh, yeah. Be prepared. Start
spoiled
saving now.
Girl. You thought you spoiled the boy.
No kidding. Well, you know, here's the thing about it. For both of our girls, my wife, her thing was the hair bands, right?
The bows.
With the little bow on it that wraps around the head. That was her kind of trademark. So we might as well just invest in a company that makes those right now.
And then shoes.
And shoes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And you have to have the dresses to match the shoes and the leggings to match all of that. Just putting it out there now.
I know. It's going to be an expensive 15 or 20 years.
If you want to invest,
have so much fun.
Invest in Gymboree.
Yes, that's a great point. I'm sure there's some other brand by now that's more popular that I don't know about, but I'm about to
Jamie
find
and
out.
Jack.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Well,
so anyway.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, coming up, by the way, we're going to talk to Tom Ackerman. He's live down in Jupiter, Florida. We'll talk a little bit about, obviously, the Cardinals, but basketball, because his team and my team are now out of it. But we'll find out what he thinks of what's going to happen in the tournament. If you've still got a bracket that's in contention. And then we got Jesse Jane Duff after the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.